Welcome back to the Loose Ballers, and of course we're here thanks to the Mazda, the brand new BT50. It's the complete package. Today on the Loose Ballers, Dill Buckley and myself, with a bit of involvement from the one and only and special, Joshy Gallup. Get on, and we just go through some questions. Brownlow winner, sloppiest rig, best bod, best players being delisted, best player in the competition. We really just spitball through a bit of everything. So stay with us, stay tuned, sit back, legs up, grab a beer, and again, thanks very much to Mazda.
Good afternoon, Dylan Buckley over in the Eastern States. How are you, mate?
Good afternoon, my friends. Sending all my love. And actually, off the top, can I say something?
Yeah, go fire.
PSA to all of my Western Australian friends and family out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Firstly, I love you all so much.
Yeah.
The bottom of my heart. So wrapped. Something's grand final. Happened. You deserve it. Perth, yeah. Optus Stadium. I'm all about it. I've been a massive, you know how much I love WA. You know how much I love Western Australians. Have some respect when you call me this week asking me to get your grand final tickets, okay? And just because I played two games at the Giants doesn't mean that I have access to like the AFL's like hall of grand final tickets that I can get you for free, okay? So just a bit of a shout out to everyone over there. And I don't know if they know what's going on. It's actually quite hard to get tickets to the grand final. And I just can't pull them out of my ass. So.
And if you got them, you're selling them for $1,000.
Exactly.
How many people have come out of the woodworks? Honestly, they feel like some of the DMs, like, mate, my name's not Xavier Ticketmaster. Like, why do you think that I've got an abundance of tickets when you get there? And the audacity of some people to say, hey, mate, flick your spares my way. Like, hey, mate, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, general public on sale, get your credit card.
It's unbelievable. And the fact as well, like, you know what it's like being in Melbourne, and again, tongue in cheek saying it, but the grand final tickets are very expensive. I don't know if that message has been spread over to the West because they're expecting these for free or for cost price. I don't know what's happening here with it all.
Nah, so true. We're going through at work, Dill, because Triple M's an accredited broadcaster and we've got a few things. We need to kick the kick on the ground or something before the game. Anyway, of course, every single producer feels like, you know, usually at an OB, they do everything to avoid turning up. For the AFL Grand Final, I've got a couple of mates who are producers writing full plans to produce content and emailing Interstate Triple M saying if you need me to gather anything on the day to get accredited to get into the ground. That's how hard it is.
Unbelievable. No, it's going to be unbelievable and it's very exciting. So, hey, congratulations to you too, my friend. I saw with Triple M, you and the GOAT on the air. That's unbelievable.
Mate,
being Big Dennis back in action. That's unreal.
Yeah, so Den's going to call it for Triple M Perth. And on the AFL app and on Southern Cross Austereo's app, which is called Listener. So, mate, I love working with Dan. That's one of the highlights of my week. He comes in every Monday to talk footy and all that sort of biz. And he comes in and I just, you know, you get nervous around some people, like the aura that they hold. I just see him and he shakes my hand, rubs my shoulders every morning, like when he walks past to get to his seat. Just love him. Like, I cannot say anything bad about Dennis Cometti. I actually feel like I'm smiling when I speak about him.
He's a star, isn't he? And I'm so excited for it. I thought the commentary, without BT, I feel like it's a little bit flat. I know some people don't love BT and what he brings, but I think when he's not there, you need someone just to get everyone up. And Dennis is obviously the absolute goat of that. So, I'm every chance to tune in to Triple M Perth to listen to the game.
Good man, mate. Hey, just because we've got the week off footy and there's not really much kicking around, I thought that we should introduce our dear mate Joshy Gallup, of course, TikTok sensation, TikTok.
Hello, guys.
And we've got about 10 little categories that, or 10 or 12 little categories that Joshy's come up with, and he's just going to hit it with us, and we've got to fire back with our answers. Just something a little bit different, a little bit away from the two teams that are playing, because we're going to cover them, obviously, next week. Pretty thoroughly. So, Joshy, you spit your question and then we'll fire back.
Yeah, that's right. We've got about, I haven't actually counted it in front of me, but we've got about 10 to 12 questions. Brownlow top three to start. Let's start with you, Zave. What are your Brownlow top three predicted for this Sunday?
Yeah, Brownlow top three for me. I think Bontempelli is going to be daylight in front and then he's going to slow, but Clary and Oliver Wine second and third. So, Bont. Looks like it's going to be over at the three-quarter mark. Won't poll much late. Others get super close, but he holds on for dear life, is what I think.
I like it. I'm going to go similar, Joshy. I'm going to say Bont wins Clary second, and I'm going to throw Jack Steele up there. I know they didn't win a lot of games, but I still think that he's a chance to feature up there somewhere.
Yeah, I went through Jack Steele's season the other day, just trying to work out. I had a little interest on a couple early in the season, just to work out who I need to protect myself from. And he's going to fall victim in terms of winning the thing. When Saints lost three games, were nearly 100 points early. Like, they got absolutely piped by a couple of teams out of the blue. And obviously, they're the ones that he's going to miss. But, geez, he is a big Brownlow watch next year if the Saints are any good.
100%. No, he's a star. And I think my theory on the Brownlow too, I might have said this before, but I feel like you nearly need to win one and then not win it, to then the next year go and win it.
Poll.
Because you sort of like deserve to win it. You don't get the votes, then you're in everyone's mind the next year, and that's when you end up winning it.
Well, that's my Ollie Wines fear is, and he's been by far the most consistent player in the competition. Every week he just turned up and played well. But will he get recognised early in the season that those 35s he was having was probably better than the other players? But so we agree, Bont is the Brownlow medalist, Joshy.
All right, so Brownlow, staying with that, top 10 sleeper, who do you think is someone who's going to be surprised potentially for the top 10?
So top 10, and the only way I worked out whether it's a surprise or not was I just jumped on one of the websites. Callum Mills for Sydney Swans is $7 to be in the top 10 of the Brownlow this year. Yes, he missed time with going to the Wallabies, COVID, and then an Achilles issue. But his season at Sydney Swans was absolutely incredible. And it was a breakout year. And I know we said that might not get the votes in his first year of really being a star, but he was their best player by a long way when he was firing. So Callum Mills for me as a sneaky top tenner at sevens.
Genuinely exactly the same, Dave. I know it's not interesting saying that, but I was going through the ladder thinking of this, and I was going, well, Melbourne, Port, Geelong, you've obviously got your stars there that are going to poll. They'll take votes off each other. Brisbane, obviously, as well. You've got your Dane Zorkos and Lachie Neils, of course, that always poll well. But then you don't really think that anyone from Giants or Essendon is going to poll extremely well. Like, I was thinking maybe, you know, like a Merritt or something like that. I know he missed a few games, but I said the same thing, Callum Mills.
But even like Josh Kelly started super slow. Yeah, I think Mills is a good one.
Okay, shifting gear now. Best hair in the competition. We like to look at a bit. What is it?
Well, Dill, I'll go to you first because, mate, I don't know what Dan Andrews' plan is with hairdressers at the moment. I feel for you, buggers, and I love that you just, it is what it is. But that hair is getting shaggy.
Oh, mate, as I said, I've got one haircut left, so I'm enjoying having the length, but it is, honestly, I feel quite fugly at the moment. I will say best hair. Now, it's not hair that I typically desire or go for, but I'd have to say the best hair I've seen this year, and being a little bit of a thin on top man myself, something I very much envy, is Bailey Fritch. I reckon that bloke could be in a hurricane and his hair does not move.
Yeah, but it is a big cliff face, isn't it? Like, if a little human stood on that and fell off his fringe, it'd fall to his death. It is that high. It is the highest fringe flick I've ever seen.
It does not move, Dave. It does not move. No matter the weather, anything.
It doesn't at all. I'm going to go with Jack Steele. There's just something about Jack Steele's hair that turns me on. If I could just stake someone's hair, a little bit of oil, sweat, water through it, Jack Steele, and the way he plays and slings himself around and it bounces around. For me, Jack Steele, give me that every day of the week.
Best bod in the comp. We'll stay with the aesthetics. Best bod.
Best bod. Well, I feel awkward saying this because he's one of my close friends, but for some reason, Tom Hawkins,
timeless.
He's got big quads, like a chest on him. Strong arms, oils himself up, knows that he needs to oil himself up to get the best out of himself. So Tom Hawkins, that oiled up rig is unbelievable.
Yeah, that is a great rig. I love talking about rigs. I'd have to say my favourite rig, there's a lot, but I'd say someone that's playing in the grand final that's got an underrated rig, I suppose, is big Stephen Martin.
Okay.
He's going to be a big
Steph
boy.
Martin, yeah.
And yeah.
Did he do some modelling or anything?
I don't know. I think he should.
Oh, maybe his partner was a high-end model or something like that. Yeah.
Steph Martin.
Steph Martin. Mate, I think Steph Martin changed footy clubs. Now, I could be really wrong here and just talk absolute shit, but I reckon he moved footy clubs at one stage because of his partner was a successful model and was modelling somewhere. Maybe wanted to move back to Melbourne or wanted to move to Sydney or something like that. But I think Stephen Martin and his partner or whatever, if they're still together, are going to have unbelievable kids.
I don't disagree with that.
Tom Hawkins too. Every time he pops on screen, my partner goes, "Oh, who's that?"
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, "You fucking saw him last week."
Yeah,
he's handsome. Okay, other side of it, sloppiest rig. We'd love to get around a sloppy rig that does well.
Well, sloppy rig, and these sloppy rigs, I reckon they are so athletic, but whatever they do, they just can't get the love and joy out of the bench press that others do. Andrew Gaff for me. I used to watch. I could take him down to City Beach and stand on him in a wave, and I could surf him. Like, he's just got a flattish chest, sloppy rig, an incredible runner, and a gun footballer, but the rig just does not match his output on it as a star footballer.
I'm going to have to double down on that, and it's someone very, very similar, but a former teammate of mine, Lockie Whitfield, can run all day. Yeah. Unbelievably just strong, like he's so tough, but gets, you know, he's the last in the gym and first out. He absolutely hates it, but he's absolutely tough as nails, so I'd have to say Lockie Whitfield.
When he's got his shirt off, it just looks like a normal kid from the park.
Yeah, literally. You just think he's just a normal, everyday bloke.
So having said that, I did something on the weekend for telethon, and I did. I had to get in a boat and do rowing. Have you ever done rowing, Dil?
It's the worst.
So I can't say too much, I don't know, because it's going to be played out. But there was a girl there called Annabelle who won gold at Tokyo in a two-person paddle or whatever they call it, and she looked like a normal person. You know when you expect rowers being the big backs, she obviously strong, looked like she could run all day, like could go run a 2K time trial. Gold medalist rower, just standing there next to me, and looked relatively, like really fit and healthy, but not what I expected from a gold medalist. It was unbelievable. I just sat there in awe of a gold medalist. I absolutely loved it.
Let's go with prettiest player. This is our last aesthetic when we get into the actual good stuff.
Dil, you go first, my friend.
Prettiest player?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Jack Steele. I think he's just a ball of handsomeness. He's the type of guy that you bring home to meet your mother. Not me, but I'm saying, my sister.
Don't like mind it. Man. Yeah, I don't, I really like it. Really like it. It goes with the hair. I'm going to go Lockie Weller. Gold Coast traded pick two. Yeah, he was an okay footballer, but they traded him to get the looks in, like to be able to sex sells. Because,
on the beach.
Yeah, he wasn't worth a pick two, you wouldn't have thought, which is now Andy Brayshaw. But, I mean, he looks 10 out of 10. So I'm still Lockie Weller. I think he's a fantastic looking man.
Best veteran in the comp that's going around next year.
Best veteran in the comp. So I've changed veteran a little bit. So obviously Dave Mundy's the obvious choice, being mid-30s. But I nominated Taylor Duray, who's at the back end of his career at the Western Bulldogs now, wasn't in the team, in and out, and now he's consistently playing in the back pocket and playing super reliable football. So former teammate of mine, Taylor Duray, I think he's going fantastic.
Love Taylor Duray. I didn't realise how old he was, and the last couple of weeks as well has showed how pivotal he's going to be in the next coming match that's come up. He's had some quite low points, but if you look at it as a game as a whole, he is literally the most important player going into the game nearly. With that Cozzy Pickett matchup, he's going to be pretty incredible, so you're spot on there. I'll just say that one of your old teammates, mate, Isaac Smith, I was a bit questionable throughout the year. I think a lot of people were a bit questionable with what he was saying, but with what he was putting out, and I think someone really questioned him, saying, "Is he here? Is he there for the right reasons, or is he there just to move down the coast?" But I think it really showed his last game against the D's when they were getting absolutely smacked. He was the only one who actually looked like he knew what he was doing.
I was surprised. I didn't think he'd be suited in Geelong's team, but he'll go close to winning their best and fairest this year in terms of. After a bit of a slow start, I think, well, Geelong in general got popped. They got pumped by Adelaide round one. But, like, he just turned up every week and just did his job. Now, Isaac Smith, he's old. It was a superannuation payment. Signed a couple of years down at the Cattery, and I think he played some pretty decent football this season. So not bad. And I think we both probably agree that Dave Mundy would be our obvious choices. But sometimes you got to step away from the obvious deal, and we've done that there.
We do. We're beneath the surface level here. We actually like to delve a little bit deeper.
Onions, layers. That's what we talk. Onions is what they used to call our game plan.
That's right, in the weeds. Best 2000 born, so a bit of context with this. This will be the first grand final ever. Well, there will be a participant that's born after the year 2000 or within the year 2000, and there will be eight players between both teams that are 2000 or beyond.
Eight players born in 2000. Geez, that makes you feel old. So 2000 was.
So do we have those Melbourne's all of those names there, Josh?
So it's Bailey Smith, Luke yeah. Jaston, Jackson, Austin Rivers. Rivers, rather.
Yeah.
Guys like that.
For mine, I'm just going to go straight into it. Mate, Bailey Smith's been their best player nearly these finals with Jacko McRae. Kicked seven goals the last two games, three and then four. Bailey Smith, he has everything. He has like 250 or 300,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
He's humming. Bailey Smith, yeah, give me Bailey Smith. He's a chance to be Norm Smith medal.
He's unbelievable. There's every chance next year he'll be the face of the game. What he's been able to do is pretty incredible, and he's got that marketability too, which we all know. I'll go one just outside of the box that I think will play a pivotal role this weekend, and it's Charlie Spargo. I love the way he goes about it.
Yeah.
He's hard as a cat's head, and I think he's going to have a massive game. The forward pressure he puts on is so dynamic. It's so like he's just absolutely everywhere. So in big games, X, you would know the pressure's going to be up, and I'm sure he's going to be laying a fair few 450 tackles.
And another one who's got nice hair. Like, you can tell that he's obviously washing that regularly.
Definitely.
Just going out to some more player awards. Best player in the comp, outright best.
Deal.
Oh, this is hard. And I'm not being biased here. I'm not being biased, but I've got to say, no matter what, at the end of the day, I'm picking Toby Green first in my team.
Yeah. Yep, so I had Toby 1 and 2, and my other one was Christian Petrarca. I just feel as though now he's gone past Dusty and all those sort of guys as a midfielder who can go forward. Like that goal where he's ripped it out of the arms of the Geelong player. He had 20 disposals and hot dogs on the weekend. Christian Petrarca, I think, if I could get my hands on two players, I'm with you, Toby and Christian. I think he's going to have a run over the next 4 or 5 years where he's by far the best player in the competition.
Off topic here, but I am really impressed with, I know this time of year we always look at how teams are built and, you know, list management decisions from 3 or 4 years ago. And obviously the Doggies of late with Sam Power and, forgive me, I can't remember the Melbourne fella's name, but you look back at some of these decisions that have been made and it's actually pretty incredible. Like, you know, Clary Oliver, which wasn't a pick that, you know, everyone was picking.
No, he was out of the box.
Out of the box, you have Angus Brayshaw and Petrarca there as well. And then of late, you go back, and Melbourne didn't finish the year that well last year. Like, they were in contention. But for them to double down, obviously pick up Cozzy Pickett, who's a star, but then to go for, like, someone like Luke Jackson as well and pick a ruckman as a high pick, who, you know, that normally is, it screams danger areas, but he's come on leaps and bounds and absolutely, well, he's obviously one of the rising star and one of their most important players. Yeah. So it's pretty impressive what they've been able to do with, you know, some of their picks where a lot of teams wouldn't have gone like that.
It makes you feel a little bit sorry for some of those early picks that were prior to this current, I don't know, people involved at the footy club, like Jack Watts, Tom Scully, Trengove, all those young guys who were picks one and two, and how their development, every single club would have taken them pick one and two. And I don't reckon they ever got to their prime, and I wonder whether if they went to any other club, they would have become a different player. Both, some were captains of footy clubs, so they're far better than what you and I were doing, but still, I just think that they didn't get to their level.
It's a great point. Like, I chatted to Max Gorn about this earlier in the year on the podcast, and, you know, he said exactly this. He goes, you know, he was throwing his own club under the bus saying, do you reckon that all these players just mysteriously couldn't play, or do you reckon it had something to do with the culture at that time? And he said it was definitely the club, how they were developed and what happened. Like, you look at Luke Tapscott, you know, Lucas Cook, Jordan Gisberts, Trengrove, Tom Scully, all these players. There's just so many there didn't get the right development. But, sorry to get sidetracked.
No, I'm with you there.
I love it. Staying with, I actually got a best delisted player. They've started trickling in.
Oh, we love this.
Do you? You got a little crop there?
Oh, shit. So with best delisted, are you talking best delisted this year or best delisted that's come back and played AFL?
Oh.
The second chance.
I was thinking out of the players that have already been delisted.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're happy to take your one.
All right, I'll give you mine because this guy is a star and it was incredible that he even got delisted in the first place. But Tim Membry, I think we forget that he actually got delisted from the Swans and then picked up by the Saints and has come on to be a pretty incredible player.
And I think player.
A big part of their structure going forward. But while you go with who you're thinking, I'll have a think about someone else that's been delisted this year. It's something that I'm very interested in, being a two-time delistee.
I had Freo Toby Watson just as a third defender. Played most of the season, then got the arse. So, I don't know. I feel like he's probably got a little bit more to give. He's a mature age player. Andrew Emily famously said this bloke will play 250 to 300 games.
Wow.
He was a mature age rookie. And he was going to have to play until he was about 60 to get to those games. But Toby Watson for me. And the one that, the Rourke Smith who plays at the Doggies, that story now is starting to come to light a little bit more. I read two ACLs, twice delisted, twice rookie listed, and now playing in a grand final.
And
so,
seven one-year deals
as well. I mean, that is we used to call it annuity payments. Just 1 year is you're just signing your annuity scheme at the AFLPA. But that is, for mine, incredible, that journey to get to where he is now.
Yep. I'll say one player that I, going through delistings and to keep an eye on, I reckon Pat Naish has still got something to give. He was a young player at the Tigers. You know, a lot of opportunity. Obviously, over the last 3 years, they've been winning flags, but I did see him play some junior footy and still think he could get another opportunity elsewhere. But one of my favourite times of the year, X, you know this. I love this period of seeing the players get picked up in free agency, trade periods. And obviously, our man, you know, Seven West man, Ryan Daniels. What happened last week with that? Sorry, just to fill in everyone, what was the fallout of that?
Well, I think Rhino tips his hat to himself and says, my story was 100% right, and he's now changed the climate of the 2002 AFL season, because what Lachie Neale thought was going to be a smooth transition back to Fremantle was railroaded by someone who was leaking information out. And before you know it, Lachie, the story was 100% correct, undoubtedly 100% correct. So, the club said they had three meetings about it. The club also put out a statement saying Lachie's considering his future. So for some reason, he's done a U-turn, whether early conversations where they want first rounders and Fremantle said, no, we're not giving up first rounders. So I don't know, but the story was 100% bang on.
Impressive. Impressive.
And I personally think Freo dodged a bullet. Not that Lachie Neale's not a star player. They just need pick six and pick eight to be key position forwards. They need to invest in their forward line. For them to win a premiership at any stage, they'll win more finals with two key position forwards in 5 years than they will with Lachie Neale in the midfield over the next three.
Well, look, exactly what we... If there's any doubts in clubs' minds now of how important draft picks are and nailing it, you've got to look at the two premiership teams that are in the AFL at the moment. A lot of those they've had some good people traded into the club to bolster up positions, but mainly they're key position players like your Stephen Mays, et cetera. There's a few more. Josh Bruce, who's obviously out. Josh Shackey played an incredible role in the week earlier, and I think he's one of the most important players. He'll go to Lever, I'm assuming, next Saturday. But those draft picks are so important. So if Freo can nail that, and from all reports, I think you were saying last week, there's a lot of good talent at WA this year that will be home picks.
Yeah,
so
there are. Exciting. They're good forwards. The Bulldogs, they have the best kids nearly in the competition.
Yeah.
Jamara, Bailey Smith, they're going to take Luke Darcy's... Waitman. They're going to take Luke Darcy's boy pick two this year. So they got one, pick one and pick two last 2 years. Jamara through the academy and Darcy through father son, and they're young. Like, they're going to be unbelievable. No, so good on them. I like the Dogs.
Yeah, I like them both.
Let's go now to best kick in the competition.
Oh, this is biased, but it's not really. Zach Merritt is the best kick of the football in the competition. Bar none, can punch it, can weight it, and I've spoken to a few forwards that would do anything to have him on their team, kicking the ball inside 50 to him. So Zach Merritt, for me, I think is the best kick in the competition.
Fair. Xavier, let me finish what I'm going to say before I say it, because I feel like you're just going to jump down my throat on this.
Yeah.
Because I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
Caleb Daniel is the best kick in the AFL. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say he bites off too much, he thinks he's too good at kicking, and he ends up turning him over. But you've got to look at his last month of football, and it's been incredible.
No, I agree.
Okay. You weren't going to jump down my throat?
No, I agree, Caleb Daniel. Okay, good. Outstanding kick. Good.
The one I thought thing you were going to say, we've had the conversation before about a former teammate, maybe, I think it was Suckling, when you get to that level of being a good kick, you end up trying too much. And I know, I think Caleb did go through that phase a little bit, maybe last year, but he's come through.
Mate, Matt Suckling in his prime, he was that good a kick. At one stage, he was trying to kick it backwards somehow. Like he Clarko, remember when Clarko punched the hole in the wall?
Mm.
And my head was right there, nearly punched me in there. I think that was off a Matt Suckling turnover. I'm pretty certain it was a Suckers turnover, like late in a quarter, and Clarko punched the shit out of the wall. I reckon it was Suckers. But yeah, no, you're right. You're getting into the habit where you think you need to get better and better, but you're actual very good, so much better than everyone else, and you just don't turn it over either. So yeah, no, I like Caleb Daniel as well.
Perfect.
Let's go with now, we had best kick, cleanest player. I don't know if it's the same sort of thing.
Cleanest, I took that as not being suspended and like a lovely looking boy. And I nominate Nick Hine from the Essendon Football Club.
Just a good kid.
He just looks like someone, if he was your son, he would have been involved in everything at school, languages, debating, athletics, footy. He would have done everything, prefect. I don't even know where he's from. I don't know whether he's been expelled. He just looks like the cleanest player in the competition for myself.
I read this completely wrong. We should have maybe worked.
No, I've read it wrong. I read it in terms. Yeah, no. No, cleanest meaning not fumbling. I get it, but I just like I just like Hine.
I like that. Cleanest player for me, and again, not so much skills, but just that one touch, not fumbling. I'd say Robbie Gray and Josh Kelly. It's hard to split those two in cleanness, but you'd have to say over a long period of time, Robbie Gray is pretty clean.
Yeah, no, Robbie Gray. It's funny, when do you all end for Robbie Gray? We haven't seen the very best out of Robbie Gray now because we've got the young kids at Port Adelaide, the younger players in those positions. Do you reckon Robbie got a year, 2 years left, and now it's like I've done so much for the footy club, young lads, get me towards a premiership?
I think so. I think it's, to be honest, like as you've said, they've just been in a prelim, so he's not going to be jumping anywhere quickly. But if it didn't go well for Port next year, and I was him, I'd be going to try and do the old, you know, finish up 2 years somewhere and win a flag. I'd be doing that if I was him. I think he's a star. He's like as good as anyone on his day, and he can play that small forward position for another 2-3 years at least.
I've heard him be nominated as Port Adelaide's greatest player of all time, Robbie Gray, by quite a few. Treadray, Robbie Gray, Gav Wanganeen, and then Trav Boak. It might have been Boak who was nominating him, actually, and I think he went with Robbie.
Wow. Now we've got a couple of weird ones just for the younger crop in the AFL. Yeah. Most likely youngster to break into a scene list. I need to clarify this. Most likely guy, you know, there's Xavier Aniera at the Eagles who's going to actually solidify his spot in the best 22.
Yeah. So Denver Granger Brass for me, and I know it's easy, it's pick six, but he was in and out this year, had a few injuries. I think next year he'll be one of the first magnets on the board at Hawthorn Football Club, and I'm saying within 2 seasons, so next season, the season after, he'll be in the top 2 or 3 key defenders in the competition. Denver Granger Brass.
Heard a lot about him. Haven't seen a lot of him playing, but yeah, I know how highly rated he is.
He hasn't played much, yeah.
We speak about Hawthorn a bit here, but I'm so optimistic for them in the next 12 to 24 months. Like, new coach, Will Day has a fit season. You get Gunston back. Sicily, who we haven't seen for 12 months. And don't forget as well, Hawthorn are one of those teams that we have no idea what's going on through their head at the moment. They are every chance to trade out 3 of their stars and bring in heaps of picks and go bang. So it's pretty exciting time to be a Hawthorn supporter, I would say. My most likely youngster to break into a senior list, played a little bit of footy, but I think he's going to really take their game to the next level, is Bobby Hill from the Giants.
Yeah.
He's a WA Earth boy. But he's a very, very good player. And I'm not going on this again, but yeah, I think that he'll be a good player next year. I don't want to pick all Giants, but I've got another one for the next bit as well.
Okay.
Just quickly, what have you heard about Bobby Hill from the guys inside the Giants camp? Anything? Are they wowed by him at training and stuff like that?
Oh, unbelievable. Obviously, cousin of Brad and Stephen Hill. Enormous, enormous talent. For him, it's just getting that continuity and a bit of size and getting his body right. I think his partner's actually pregnant at the moment, and he had to leave the hub to be with throughout the year, which broke up his season a bit. But obviously, family comes first. But yeah, when he can string a season together, he can do some incredible things. We've seen glimpses, but I want to see a big year from him because I know he can do it.
I watched Bobby Hill play in under 17s. Intra WA v WA match to pick the state team. and he kicked the football. He was, you know, some players make that thud when they kick the footy deal, and like, I don't think you and I ever could, but they thud it, and it makes this loud slap, and you're like, geez, that sounded like that was going to go wherever it was. He was hitting him that sweet. Bobby Hill would look like an absolute star as a 17-year-old. I know he had credentials to be a star at that age, but this kicking, the noise off his boot, it was like the day I went to the footy and heard Jonathan Brown mark it,
yep.
And it slapped his hands every time. I was like, shit, that's pretty cool. Bobby Hill had the kicking type of that.
Let's go with most likely to make a leap to an A-grader in 2022.
Zach Bailey, lock it in. Brisbane Lions.
If not, he's already there. I think internally he would be rated as an A-grader now, but I think externally in the AFL, people have to start really taking notice of this kid because far out, we saw him in that final. He steps up. He just does not go to ground X. Like, I've never seen him fall over. He's so clean.
And I mean this in like a really endearing manner. He's a bogan too. He looks like a bogan. Like, where nothing gives. He doesn't give a shit. Like, he doesn't. He doesn't want the fancy, the thrills, and the spills, and the new boots, and the pink boots, and the, you know, the hair product, and the fancy hair. He just wants to play hard footy, and he just reminds me of a tough bogan, and I love it.
And I was actually playing when I was up at the Giants back a few years ago. He was. I think he'd just been picked up, and he was in and out of the team, and. Again, I thought I was quite across, you know, who was getting drafted and whatnot. I thought this kid was like a rookie because when you look at him, it doesn't scream like star power. It's like that Dane Swan sort of type player. Like you see them when they're younger and you go, oh, like they're going to be good. Then they just turn into this absolute star. He was actually quite a high pick. I think he was something like pick 15 or something around the draft. So he's a good player. One, again, I'll say, just because I've seen this guy develop and I personally think he could have been selected for a few of these, most cleanest, best kick, sloppiest rig, all of those. But Brent Daniels, mark my words, will be an A-grader. He is one of the cleanest players I've seen. He's
what's his draft story?
His smartness. He's just a boy from Swan Hill, from the country. Yeah.
Is he young? You know, how old is he?
He is the same as Bobby Hill. Same age as Bobby Hill. So draft. Yeah. So they're playing.
He seems like someone that's been there for like 7 years.
Mate, he was the grumpiest first-year player I've ever met in my life. So he's like within 3 months, he was already the grumpiest bloke at the club. Like, he was like the old grumpy guy, but he was like 18 years of age.
What a pain in the ass.
Literally. So he'll be an absolute star. I've said this before and people have abused me, but I'm telling you now, he's like a Boomer Harvey type player. He'll go into the midfield. He had a really significant hamstring injury this year and didn't get to play a lot of footy.
But
I'm really bullish on him. I think he's going to be a really, really good player.
Don't mind it.
Last one, most likely to be at a different club next year, obviously Chera. It's going to be somewhere. I understand you've got a bit of breaking news.
No, I don't have breaking news, but all I'll say is Dane Beams. I'm just going to say Dane Beams. Brisbane Lions, swore he was going to stay at the Lions, loved the club, delivered a speech, ended up at Collingwood. The Lockie Neal story was right. I'm just saying it's not buried yet. I'm just going to go with that. It's not buried yet. And I know that a lot of journalists think that it's not off the cards yet.
Wait, so you're saying that there's a chance Lockie Neal could somehow find his way to Freo?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just going to...
Wow.
I know nothing, but if he was that eager... No, but if he was that eager to get over and had been approved by Fremantle and had been approved by Nat Fyfe and he just hadn't told Brisbane and maybe he was happy for the story to be leaked, why would you be changing your mind so quickly? I just think that maybe right now he said, yep, no, I'm staying. I love the club. But then maybe come, you know, the last day of trade day, Roy Lobb gets traded for a first-round draft pick, so something else pops into your account. I'm just saying, don't rule it out.
Wow. So you just said you heard from an inside source that he's actually coming.
He'll be at Fremantle next year. No, I'm taking the piss on that. But I'm just saying, whether it went from 99% coming to Freo and it's now 25%, but it's definitely not 0% in my eyes.
Are you saying with that, X, that it's maybe now making Brisbane think that it could be a deal as well? Like, you're saying that maybe things could open up and it could happen rather than the other?
Well, no, I just feel as though that maybe, you know, they got Brisbane got it sprung on them. which they hate. They're all, you know, footy clubs still always go, whenever you know something, tell us before everyone else knows. They would have spewed in their mouth seeing Ryan Daniels on Channel 7 delivering Lachie Neale wants to come home. And he didn't tell the full story. I don't know the full story, but he obviously knows more information as well. You know, he's not going to go balls to the wall and deliver everything. I just feel as though it's taken 2 days. It was done so quickly. Time will settle. Dust will settle. In a month's time, when trade period's rocking or whatever it is, I just don't think it's dead yet.
What about, is it a leverage thing? Is it that, like, Brisbane, they basically have an asset, and he's told he's leaving. It's a lot harder to sell an, or get as much back for an asset that's already out the
door. I don't know. And maybe at the time when he said he is staying, but maybe they might come back in 3 weeks' time and go, hey, look, we've picked up this first-round pick. Brisbane, they've sat there going, well, we were 7-0 without him this season, or 9-0, whatever it was. Jack Bailey needs some more midfield time. Dane Zorko was our best player, one of the best and fairest when he played more midfield. Jared Lyons, Hugh McCluggage are good enough to hold the midfield up. I don't know. As I said, I think it was 95% or 99% right what Ryan said in terms of maybe it's just 25 now. But I'm not throwing it in the bin just yet.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to... To make it interesting, I think he will stay. I think once you've committed, it's hard to do it. And from all reports, I think he's going to stay there. Superstar bloke too. So it's a credit to both clubs, whoever can get him. Now, my question for this, and firstly, just to go back, when you first said Dane Beams then, I thought you were saying Dane Beams is going to make a comeback. That was where that was a real story breaking.
No, Beams is trained off a little bit like me.
Okay. Now, my one going into 2022, obviously we've spoken about a few already, but I more had actually a question. I saw one happening at the moment with Hamish Hartlett. Now, that is...
Yes.
Yeah, it sort of surprised me. I'd sort of forgotten. I thought that he might have been injured. I didn't think that he wasn't getting a game because he was such a stalwart of that club and was, you know, seemingly always selected.
Yeah.
I don't know how old he is, but if you're another club, are you having a look at him? And if so, what club would you think?
I'm getting it up right now. Hamish Hartlett. So they made the right choice with him, to be honest, because that boner came in and had 30 odd in the final, and he's been playing a good spot. I really like Hamish Hartlett. We both did our hamstrings one day in a NAB game where I ended up getting fined by the AFL for swearing at someone in the crowd. So he's a nice guy. He really comforted me when I was like getting bullied. But Hamish Hartlett, I think maybe at North Melbourne, for example, that might want another experienced head there for a little while. He's a tough player, Hamish Hartlett. So a little bit of protection for the younger lads again. I love what North Melbourne are doing, so maybe that might be a little one that could be an option. Yeah, mate, I can see North Melbourne being a fit just under 1 or 2 years.
Second one is Zaharakis actually got delisted too. Are you having a look at him, or do you think that he's retirement now?
So Hamish Hartlett, sorry, just quickly, just turned 31, okay. Literally 3 weeks ago. And Zaharakis, no, I'm not having a look at him.
Yep.
Nah. You?
Yeah, cool. No, I don't think so. I can't think of any team that, at the moment, you look at those young teams like your Norths and your Gold Coast, and they have to be giving players games and giving young kids games to make them better players. So unless someone's going to come in and actually help, like a Grant Birchall type operator, I wouldn't be looking at those guys.
For mine, Hamish Hartlett too, the only reason why I'd separate him, he can play half back pocket and lead from defence where it's not the most strenuous. I don't know. Dave Zaharakis has played some good footy as a midfielder. He's certainly not going to play in the midfield in any team. And then he starts playing that graveyard shift as a half forward, which is nearly impossible. And I can't see him playing half back, so I think it might just be a bit too hard for Dave Zaharakis, who's
just saying that
by next season
as well. A lot of people would have ridden me off to never get another contract. So if I can do it, anyone can.
Never say die, mate. That's the attitude, isn't it?
Exactly.
All right, Dil. Thanks for joining us, mate. Lockdown again. Thinking of yous. Enjoy whatever you can do at home. If you've picked up a hobby or anything really quickly, you're doing anything that you had, like anything, cooking, potting, smoking pot.
I'm doing a bit of potting. No, I'm doing a bit of cooking. I'm loving my TV series at the moment.
What are you
I'm
going?
Just, I've actually just, can I give you three? Now, two obvious ones. Yellowstone. If you haven't seen that, don't ever talk to me again.
I've never seen it. So what platform?
Stop the podcast. It's on Stan. It's on Stan. The other one is Ozark. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, don't talk to me ever again.
Started that. Yes, started that. The drugs.
Yes. Fantastic show. Yeah. There's another one that I saw on SBS On Demand the other day called 000. So ZER. Oh, sorry.
Unbelievable. Best show I've seen in 2 years.
Ooh. Love that, Joshy. It is unbelievable. So get on that one. It is unbelievable. And what else have I been watching? I actually just started The Sopranos, so I'm really enjoying that.
Mate, things are going hard up when you're rolling into The Sopranos. Yeah,
you could say my life's going pretty shit right now.
Who would have thought 2 years ago, if you fast forward 2 years, you'd be sitting at home for 6 months watching The Sopranos?
If anyone could see me right now, I've got crumbs all over my T-shirt. I have like literally a helmet for a head. It looks like I've got a watermelon cut out on me. And yeah.
Dill, we are thinking of you, mate. Rooting for you. Hopefully it doesn't last too long, mate. But we'll catch up again next week.
No stress, boys. And I'll just send on your number to all these friends and family in WA for tickets.
Yeah, do that, mate. I've got heaps of them. Heaps remaining.
Yeah, good.
There we go. Done and dusted. The Loose Ballers for another week. Stay with us. Plenty more on the Hardball Gets platform to come. And, of course, we need to say a big thank you to Mazda, the brand new BT50. It's the complete package. Enjoy your evening, stay safe, stay well, and go the mighty Bulldogs.